most trusted and longest-running sports talk show in Tennessee. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, this is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hines on Sports Radio WNML.
Welcome to Sports Talk on this Thursday afternoon. I'm John Wilkerson. Vince Ferrara pinch hitting once again for Jimmy Hyams, and happy to have Vince along as he joins me from the palatial Ferrara estate in Tampa. Vince, how are you?
Good, John. How you doing?
Doing quite well. So what's the weather situation? Is it, again, just blazing hot today?
Yes, sir. Consistency.
And it's never been to 100 degrees in Tampa, ever.
No. No, not at the airport where they do the official temperature, I'm sure, in patches, in surrounding areas, things like that, suburbs, it may have. And certainly when you're in your car, it tells you it's a lot hotter than 100 degrees. So from those inexact readings, it certainly has been. And then the feels like is obviously much greater as well. But just for what the meteorologists say, no, that has not happened.
Wow, that's crazy. I would have just guaranteed that had been the case, considering that we've had several days of over 100 degrees in our history in Knoxville. But, wow. But anyhow, certainly hope you're enjoying the chance to be closer to home, and I appreciate your time this afternoon. And we are loaded up today. We've got so many people to talk to. Look forward to catching up with Knoxville native, or I should say Farragut native, Farragut product, former Vanderbilt pitcher, and Philip Pfeiffer, who's with the Atlanta Braves, and he is currently quarantining to get ready for the opportunity to make the team as he's part of that player pool to join Atlanta this year. So big opportunity for him. He will join us to start hour number two of the program. Vince, we've been fortunate enough to strike quite a bond and form a friendship with Dan Lust, sports attorney. He'll be along at 4:35, and goodness gracious, it seems like there's more and more to talk about in his realm from one day to the next.
No doubt, and we're starting to hear commissioners talk about specifics with the league and with their leagues and their return with handling the COVID-19 pandemic and the safety and health issues. And, you know, what they say matters, and it matters from a legal standpoint. So we'll touch on those things, and then also liability for student athletes getting on campuses that are being asked to sign these waivers. Then you're starting to hear about the NFL wanting fans this year and requesting that fans sign waivers to remove liability from them, and then how much does that actually in fact happen, and just go on and on. There's just so many things that involve the legal system and the liability factor with all that we're dealing with right now. So Dan is all over that, and we'll discuss all those topics and more with him coming up in that second hour.
That's right. 4:35 is when he joins us. Hour number three, it's Thursday, so that's Brent Hubbs of AllQuest.com, and some big topics to talk about with Brent, as you would imagine. We'll talk more about that in mere moments. And Vince, at 6:15, we look forward to catching up with Stuart Holden of Fox Sports.
Yeah, he's their lead match analyst. He does an unbelievable job. He's obviously called the international games, World Cup matches, and certainly so familiar with the U.S. men's national team. And we're going to talk to him about the U.S. men's national team star Christian Pulisic, who is now with Chelsea in the English Premier League and doing well. And also the MLS is returning this month, or they're slated to. And they have a big tournament that will be exciting. And they're in that Orlando bubble as well. So hopefully that'll go off, and we'll talk to him about that setup and the return of soccer as a sport, one of the earliest team sports that will get going, even ahead of Major League Baseball in terms of match action. So that's on the way here real soon, in a little under a week. So we'll talk to Stuart about all those things regarding soccer.
And also we'll bring you a conversation in two parts. One, well, the first half will be a little bit later this hour. The second half will be in the 6 o'clock hour. But it turned it into a very enjoyable conversation with Rob Stacey, who is the Clinton baseball coach. As we, thanks to our wonderful partner in Brandon's Awards and Engraving, we've been able to recognize some seniors that weren't able to complete their final season as everything got shut down in March. And so one of our honorees is Adam Sharp of the Clinton baseball team. So we talk about Adam. It was also Coach Stacey's first year with the Dragons. So here he is. He gets 3 games to be the head coach, and then that was it. But we talk about not only Adam Sharp, but we also talk about what it's been like for him to take over the program, and he's got a great feeling for his seniors, talks about how they handled what would have been just such a – what was and continues to be a gut punch for so many that you weren't able to finish your last year. But really enjoyed the opportunity to catch up with Rob Stacey, so we'll bring you that conversation throughout the course of today's program, with part one coming later this hour. But Vince, so much to talk about, but it should be a lot of fun today on Sports Talk.
Yeah, definitely. The week is flying by, so good to be here.
And we'll dive right into it. Time for news and notes brought to you by Image Matter, technology you need. Vince, people you can trust.
Absolutely.
Yes. Looks like we just had a little fly in the ointment there, a monkey wrench, so to speak, with Vince. So we'll hopefully get him back in mere moments. But we were talking about the great job that Image Matters will take care of you, whether you're an individual, a company, you name it. Image Matters, technology you need, people you trust. It is a busy news day around the Southeastern Conference, and penalties for Texas A&M University reach into Tennessee's backyard because this is going from the story as posted by Brent Hubbs on VolQuest.com, that while it remains unclear when the NCAA will open back up for recruiting, allowing coaches to be on the road, as this current dead period extends through August 31st, if and when the dead period ends, Tennessee running backs coach Jay Graham will not be allowed on the recruiting trail due to a show cause that was handed down by the NCAA. Jay Graham was an assistant at Texas A&M with Jimbo Fisher. So not only Graham, but also Aggies head coach Jimbo Fisher have been given 6-month show cause penalties. And for Graham, who is now the BFL, Tennessee's running backs coach, that means a ban of all off-campus recruiting activities for this upcoming fall contact period. Tennessee, in a statement that was released, says they were aware of the investigation of Texas A&M and involving Graham when he was hired by Jeremy Pruitt. Here's the statement: during the process of hiring Coach Jay Graham, we were made aware of the circumstances at his previous institution, and we vetted it thoroughly in accordance with NCAA and SEC bylaws. We established and maintain extremely high confidence in Coach Graham's commitment to compliance and are proud to have him on our staff. So that was Tennessee's statement in regards to the penalty. Graham has already served some components of discipline, as his other parts of his punishments included a nine-day ban on phone calls, emails, or texts with prospects in January of this year. He also had a reduction of 3 off-campus recruiting contact days from December of last year through January of this year, and he also has additional one-on-one rules education. The show cause concerning Graham is for recruiting only and doesn't appear to affect Jay Graham's ability to coach in the fall of this year, provided that there is a football season. So, Vince, big, big news today in the Southeastern Conference. And so Tennessee saying that it was aware of the investigation that involved Jay Graham and his time at Texas A&M, and it looks like they stand by him 100%.
Well, it's obviously not a good look, but the fact that they knew about it, it maybe softens it a little bit from a criticism standpoint. But what did they really think about that? Is that something that, you know, a lot of people do that, but not many people get caught, so we're good. Come on in. We know you can get it done otherwise. Or was this something that it gave him extra thought in bringing him in. And sure, he's accomplished a lot. He's a terrific coach. He's so highly regarded that maybe it was something that didn't faze them all that much. I'd be curious to find out where they stood on that and just how much of an issue was this. And, you know, there was other things there in A&M with their recruiting with Jimbo Fisher, as you mentioned, and not just Jay Graham. But it's something to consider. And we'll see what that does down the stretch for Tennessee, too. There's always that decommitment conversation. And other schools are going to use it against you in negative recruiting. Whether they'll be successful or not, that's a different answer. But it will absolutely be used against Tennessee. And people will always jump on any opportunity to use it. We'll see what it does, if it enhances any decommitments for guys that were tied to him, or is that relationship so tight that they're not fazed by it and he's got a good reason for it and all will be good. We'll see how it plays out, but it's just something to monitor and keep in consideration as we move forward in the path to the early signing period and the February signing period.
As far as penalties that were sent in the direction of Texas A&M football, we mentioned that Jimbo Fisher was given a six-month show cause order, and as he and the program were found to have violated NCAA recruiting and athletic-related activity rules, A&M football has been placed on probation for a year. The investigation stemmed from violations between January of 2018 through February of last year, 2019, and included an instance in which Fisher and an assistant coach that we now know as Jay Graham had impermissible contact with a recruit. As part of the resolution, the school had to end recruitment of that particular prospect, which is normally the case. And as far as what all Texas A&M is facing, Fisher was found to have, quote, failed to promote an atmosphere of compliance and, another quote, did not demonstrate that he monitored his staff. He was forced to serve a 9-day ban on phone calls, emails, and texts with prospects in January, just as Jay Graham was. And here is what Fisher said in a statement that was released by Texas A&M. While I am disappointed in the violations, including an unintended one that resulted from a conversation with a high school athlete, it is still my responsibility to ensure we are adhering to each and every rule. I'm pleased to have this matter completely behind our program and look forward to continuing our efforts to make every aspect of our program one all Aggies can continue to be proud of. His show cause will be in place through the rest of 2020. And the football program was also found to have caused its players to exceed activity time limits by about 7 hours for multiple weeks during the spring and summer of 2018. And so in addition to the probation, Texas A&M fined $5,000 and received several other recruiting restrictions. So it's as you mentioned, it's not a good look for Jay Graham, and it's not a good look for Texas A&M. And we'll see. I do think that when you look at the impact that Graham has had, there are going to be people that point and say, look at this. I just don't know that there's going to be anything that's shown. I mean, I don't think there's no whisper that anything has been done incorrectly since he joined the Tennessee program.
Yeah, but nothing has surfaced, but that doesn't mean anything. I mean, it's the world of recruiting, and that's not singling out Tennessee. It's just life in recruiting. So the line is going to be pushed. And, you know, for Jimbo Fisher to say unintended, I mean, isn't that the stock answer? It's always the stock answer. And so quick to, hey, we're time to move forward. And maybe this will just be in a blip in the radar for them, but it's unfortunately the world of recruiting where these guys feel like other people are breaking rules, so sometimes you have to extend that, and they're always looking for edges, and some people get caught and some people don't. And we'll, you know, there's just not, to me, 9 days without phone calls. Okay, well, guess what? Other people can communicate in other ways. So How significant is that penalty? It's to me, a lot of it is just surface, but there's not a ton of real accountability because it's kind of the world that they all live in on a regular basis.
That's Vince Ferrara. I'm John Wilkerson. We'll grab a quick break. We've got more news and notes coming your way. To join us, 656-9900, 656-9900. Star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. This is Sports Talk on 99.1, The Sports Animal.
The runaway number one in East Tennessee for sports. We are 99.1, The Sports Animal.
Sports Talk continues. I'm John Wilkerson. Vince Ferrara pinch hitting for Jimmy Hyams. And Vince, we've got more news. And on a day that Oklahoma announced that it was making almost $14 million in budget cuts in relation to COVID-19, it announces that 14 players have tested positive for the coronavirus, along with two of the 72 staff members who were tested. So it they say, let's see, I had that right here. 111 players were tested Monday. Only seven tested positive. There were another seven positive cases that previously existed. And of those 14 positive tests, two players have already recovered. So no comment from either Oklahoma coach Lincoln Riley or athletics director, no comment from Lincoln Riley, but Joe Castiglione said in a statement that as the pandemic evolves, there could be additional cost-cutting measures as Lincoln Riley made $6 million in 2019. So there are, as Castiglione went on to say, all of us understand that a number of circumstances will unfold in the weeks ahead. Our staff continues to monitor our expense and income projections closely and will take other actions as necessary. Did not have really, it looks like, specific comments to the positive tests. So we'll see exactly how they handle it. And no doubt about it, that's Tennessee's biggest non-conference game as slated to take place in Norman this fall.
Certainly, and it, like we've talked about, it depends on how these schools react to it and handle the situations. You don't want to see anyone test positive for it. And it's not just that certain people are the high risk and the others aren't and they'll be fine. It's you just never know how each individual is going to react to it, and you don't want to take any chances. So one positive test is too many. However, the reaction to it is a reminder that everyone has to be safer. How did they – was it all people that had gathered together and, you know, maybe went to a party or were all together for an extended period of time with somebody that they didn't know? Or you just never know. So hopefully they'll – try to figure that out and see if there's any correlations or things to learn and then tighten it up. And they'll continue to get tested on the inside. You know, the group of five schools are the ones that I wonder about. Like we talked to Will Healy, Charlotte head coach, yesterday. And I wanted for him to specifically talk about that they were doing COVID-19 testing, because I don't know that that's happened at all schools across the board, but that's good to know that Charlotte has been doing that, and he mentioned that they follow up and do more from the inside as well. So that's when it becomes more tricky, it becomes trickier and more difficult, is when those positive tests come once those players are already on campus. Those are more concerning, because then you have a wider spread net of the people they contacted. But the initials before they come on campus, I expect some of those to happen. Use those to get better and tighten it up so we can have football.
Very much so. And we can also say, and it's, I know some people have been excited to know, that while the Elite 11 quarterback camp has been taking place in Murfreesboro, you have a Tennessee commit, Caden Salter, who has been competing in that group of 20 quarterbacks, and it's, I think, an accomplishment for him and one that Tennessee's used to in terms of those that have pledged to the orange and white. He is one of the Elite 11, as he has been judged to have had a very positive experience, and so he is one of the Elite 11 quarterbacks in the country, Caden Salter.
Yeah, I look forward to talking to Brent Hubbs about that, because he is a really talented guy, and we talked to Craig Halbert, the national football recruiting coordinator, about Caden Salter, and he talked about how he has some of those dual threat abilities, but how coachable he is. And for him to be in that setting and still show out, and some of the things we've heard from Trent Dilfer and what he talked about with Caden Salter, stiff competition. There's commitments from all over the SEC with high-level quarterbacks. Probably some. I haven't looked one down and looked at each one who's in and who's out. But I'm guessing that he beat out some that were rated higher in some of those recruiting services than him. And so it's got to make him feel good and continue to go out there and compete. So it's a nice recognition for Tennessee and certainly for Caden Salter.
That's Vince Ferrara. I'm John Wilkerson. We'll get a break. We've got a lot more coming your way. To join us on Sports Talk, 656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free. For AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers, the toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. As Sports Talk continues, we look forward to bringing you part of a conversation that I had with Clinton baseball coach Rob Stacey. That's next on 99.1, The Sports Animal. Talk continues. I'm John Wilkerson. Vince Ferrara pinch hitting for Jimmy Hyams. And one of the things we've enjoyed the opportunity to do, thanks to our friends at Brandon's Award and Engraving, is recognize some of the 2020 senior athletes that weren't able to complete their season. So one of those, one of our honorees is Adam Sharp of the Clinton High School baseball team. And here is part one of my conversation with his head coach, Rob Stacey.
Joining me now on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline is Clinton baseball coach Rob Stacey. One of the things that we've enjoyed doing this spring into summer is recognizing some seniors that didn't have the opportunity to complete their last season. Adam Sharp, a member of the Clinton baseball team, wasn't able to complete his year, and so we're going to talk a little bit about Adam and the Dragons with Coach Stacey. Coach, how are you?
Doing well. How about yourself?
Doing quite well. Sure to appreciate it. And I also hope that you and yours are safe and sound through all this.
Yes, sir. Trying to be.
Well, the more I looked into this conversation, the more that there was to talk about. This was your first year as the head coach at Clinton, correct?
Yes, sir, it was. It's been a trying time. You worked so long to finally get that head coaching job, and all of a sudden, you know, COVID happens, and I hate it for, you know, the families that are going through the losses and stuff, and I hate it for the kids, and I've kind of put my own feelings, that's what I talked to my wife about, I've kind of put my own feelings on the back burner to try to help those others.
Well, what was it like, first of all, to get this opportunity? You had been at David Crockett, you'd also coached some in college, and I'm just wondering, what was it like that led you to Clinton?
So several years ago, when Casey Taylor, who's Sevier County's coach, was the head coach, I was recruiting for the University of Pikeville at the time. And I'd come down to Clinton to recruit some kids back when Casey had one of the best years they've ever had in 2011. And I was talking to him and just, like, looking at the area. And then, flash forward several years later, had no clue, see it pop up on a job thing, apply for it. As I'm driving down there, I'm like, I really recognize this place. And then I realized, I was like, I've been here before. So it felt like home at first. The first time I came down, and the second time I came down, it felt even better. And the third time, I finally got to bring my wife, and she knew right off the bat. She was like, you know, this is the opportunity you need to take.
That's incredible. And what was it like to start to get to know, first of all, the players that were making their way through the program, as well as some of the alumni?
The biggest thing for me coming in was building that relationship with my senior class, and then also, like you just mentioned, the alumni. You know, I'm a firm believer. We have a great alumni association and program that goes on at Pikeville. They make you always feel welcome at home, and I've kind of piggybacked off that and said, you know, that's what I need to do at a high school level. I feel like sometimes too many programs, once you graduate, a lot of guys or girls might feel like they don't have an opportunity to come back and see how their program's grown. And I want our guys, especially our alumni, to always feel welcome, to know that they can come on the field to see and, you know, remember the memories that they've had on that field and what they've done there, too, and make sure that everybody knows that, you know, they had a part in building this program as well. And then to go back and talk a little bit about my seniors, when I first got hired, I called them all up and kind of said, hey, you know, this is how I do things. We need to get together and we're going to go have lunch. I'm going to drive down. It's before I got to move down there. I think it really threw them off that I was the type of coach that really wanted to know who they were. And we didn't really get to talk a lot of baseball at that first meeting. I just wanted to know who they were, what they loved, and what they liked to do outside of school and outside of baseball. And it kind of gave me an idea of how to build our practice plans and everything around the team that we currently had.
Well, it had to be a really good feeling to one, build that bridge, make that connection, and then also see them buy in, because it no doubt about it, you have to connect with the team leaders when you are taking over a program, don't you?
Oh, for sure, 100%. If you don't have the leaders bought in and believing in what your system that you've got in, it's going to be really hard for those young guys to buy in as well. Because whether those older guys believe it or not, and they might not think of themselves as role models to the younger guys are going to look to them and they're going to create the same actions they do. So if they come to the field and they don't take things serious, those younger guys are going to follow that same lead. That's kind of what we built on our senior class this entire year, and it was something that we attacked not only on the baseball field, we attacked on the classroom, and then we also attacked outside, like as their jobs. Like a lot of them right now, our senior class has got 11. Many of them right now during this pandemic picked up jobs, and they picked up jobs because they were just bored and they needed something to do during this pandemic.
Got to appreciate making the most of a tough situation. And among the senior class, Adam Sharp. And Adam, to his credit, you talk about irony. Into 3 games into his junior season, he sees it come to an end with just a terrible injury that he suffered while sliding into home plate, and so he undergoes 2 surgeries. Wasn't able to walk again from the middle of March when the injury happened to the middle of July last summer. And so went through months of physical therapy, strength training, and then a fall league with the Smokies, built up his confidence and his strength to come back for his senior year. And then, unfortunately, 3 games in, that's when everything shut down. But what can you tell us about getting to know Adam Sharp?
That's, I mean, basically everything you just said right there. I mean, I got a grin on my face right now, despite, reliving all that stuff that I knew about Adam. You hear that, all that right there, and you have to be, you can't be stupid to realize that this kid has went through a lot. To hear that entire story, you realize and look back and you go, this is a 17, 16, 17, 18-year-old that's going through some stuff that most people never go through there in life, and now he's had to do it twice. And his attitude towards the whole thing has been phenomenal. Not one time has he said, woe is me. And not one time has he blamed somebody else. Not one time has he, asked for something that he doesn't deserve. And he's worked himself into a position where he could possibly play college baseball. So I'm hoping he's got 2 opportunities, Bluefield College and Alice Lloyd College. We're waiting to see what the decision is on that. But he put himself in that position with what he did in the fall, getting signed up with the Smokies League. We made sure those guys got signed up so they're playing in the league in the fall. And then this summer, we've actually got them in the Smokies League as well. We have a couple alumni that coach them in that league. And I throw them into some tournaments as well, which is helping not only the seniors have their season, it's giving them a season back.
Mm-hmm.
But it's helping some of these guys. We've got 3 guys that are going to go on to play college baseball or prep school baseball. It's given them an opportunity not to go into the fall this coming year and be out of shape or in a position that's going to, really hurt them at the college level. But it's also given our young guys a chance to see what our program's about. We're very limited right now on what we can do during practices, and it's not really a feel of what our practice would actually be like. The best thing about what's going on with the pandemic, and I've talked to some about football coaches, I try to look at the positives, and the positives about this is like what Adam has done and seen positive is it's made us more efficient and realize what's important in life and what's important at practice. So it gives us an opportunity to talk about that. And that's something that Adam has done tremendously with our younger guys. He lets the guys know and see that while baseball might be taken away, he's still enjoying life. He's not going to let this control him. And that's Adam in a heartbeat right there. I mean, he's the type of guy that you just get along as soon as he walks in the room.
That's a great example. And also fantastic leadership as well as kind of passing the torch.
And so those are some comments from Clinton baseball coach Rob Stacey. And Vince, there's the conversation went on just to talk about the transition, what it was like for him to become a head coach. And so we have a second part to that conversation that takes place later this afternoon that we'll share it. But you can just see and sense the enthusiasm that he's got for this opportunity.
Absolutely, and great stuff on the recognition of Adam Sharp. And I'm glad we're a part of that because there's a lot of deserving kids that are out there in their high school careers that didn't get a chance to see it out. So well done there.
Yeah, just amazing. All he went through and the hard work that he put in, suffered an injury 3 games into his junior season, March of 2019, wasn't able to walk again until the middle of July of last summer. And then after the physical therapy, the strength training, and competing in a fall league with the Smokies, Adam built his confidence, strength back for a senior year, which unfortunately was done after 3 games thanks to everything shutting down. But we say congratulations to Adam Sharp as well as the entire 2020 senior class. But Adam Sharp, we say thanks to Brandon's Awards and Engraving as they will be making a plaque for Adam. And we appreciate the opportunity, again, to salute all seniors who saw their senior year come to an end far too soon.
And, John, I'll just a reminder, you can read more on Adam's story and all the other athletes that we're recognizing as we celebrate senior athletes, the class of 2020. And as you mentioned, and it's presented by Brandon's Awards, an engraving, and you can find out more at 991thesportsanimal.com. Just go to our What's Happening section, and you can read more and click on that. You'll also see it on the big promo reel as well, so you can read all the stories of those seniors that we're highlighting.
That's Vince Ferrara. I'm John Wilkerson. We'll get a break and be back to close out this first hour of Sports Talk as you listen to 99.1 The Sports Animal.
In your car, in your office, in your house, in your shower. 99.1, The Sports Animal. Pass the body wash.
Final segment to this first hour of Sports Talk. I'm John Wilkerson. Vince Ferrara pinch hitting for Jimmy Hyams. And to join us, 656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. And Vince, I think as we chatted with Brian Cox earlier this week, you can't help but get the feeling that Rob Manfred just doesn't know when to stop talking. As the Major League Baseball commissioner was clarifying comments about the negotiations for this season, he shares, and it could very well be the case, but he says Major League Baseball will be, quote, lucky to complete a 60-game season. And as he shared those remarks, he said it really didn't matter as to what they did agree to when it came to or were going to agree to, because if it had been 100 games, if it had been 114 games or whatever, he thought that spikes in the virus would have upset the schedule at some point in time. So here is what he said. The reality is we weren't going to play more than 60 games no matter how the negotiations with the players went. And so he still thinks that it will be, if we had started an 82-game season starting July 1st, we would have had people in Arizona and Florida at the time the second spike hit, which some would tell you is just a continuation of the first wave. He says, my point was that no matter what happened with the union, the way things unfolded with the second spike, we would have ended up with only time for 60 games anyway. As time went on, it became clearer and clearer that the course of the virus was going to dictate how many games we could play. And so he goes on to say in a later comment, the reality is that we're going to be lucky if we get 60 games now, given the course of the virus. And I don't think there's any question that it could upset what Major League Baseball has planned, could do the same for the NBA, for the National Hockey League. We just don't know right now. But he is just a steaming pile of positivity, isn't he?
Yeah, that would be the first time I think he's had that title, and or at least that description. John, who needs Dr. Fauci when we have Rob Manfred that can tell us what's going to happen with the COVID-19? I mean, so he knows that weren't going to be more than 60 games. Okay, so why were you even including more than that in any of those negotiations? So it doesn't make any sense. He doesn't know. To me, it sounds like a extra little, the players wasted our time in continuing to force that issue of more games. And we tried to tell them from a safety standpoint we weren't going to get more than 60 in anyway, but they insisted and it drug on. It sounds like some post-agreement spin work continuing to be done, and it's unnecessary. Focus on your sport and making people feel a little bit more confident in your product, and you probably weren't spending as much time on the safety element because you couldn't figure out the finances of it. So now people, based on how you handled all of the negotiations, are going to have less confidence in you in executing everything else, and in comments like this don't help anyone's confidence in him. Not that that confidence level was very high to begin with. So I don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense. He doesn't know, and I just wish they would stop playing these kind of games and just actually seem like a leader.
Yeah, because why didn't he say something along these lines as negotiations were going on? If this is what he sincerely felt, I mean, it's very easy to say retrospectively, oh, yeah, well, right. It really doesn't matter now, does it? Because this would have happened and that would have happened. You didn't know it at the time. And again, all of these plans right now are in pencil. They have set plans, but you also know that they've got an eraser handy just in case anything forces a left turn here or a right turn there. And that's what all sports entities, whether you're talking about the TSSAA, the SEC, the NCAA, that's what everybody has to have mindful or be mindful of as we deal with, again, what it remains a large unknown as to exactly what is in store for us all. So I just think that you've got protocols in place, you've got policies in place. Rob Manfred continues to significantly underwhelm in terms of sitting in the lead chair. I'm not going to say he's leading because I don't think we have enough evidence to back that up.
He makes Gary Bettman look like Adam Silver in terms of being a commissioner of a sports league.
Yeah, I think right now Manfred is the one that other sports commissioners boo.
Yeah, and commissioners that it's a annual tradition to get booed.
Yes.
And Bettman and Goodell have that as a regular thing, and that they turn around and turn boo Manfred. Goodness, I just don't understand it. John, one quick update just saw from the SEC. SEC, of course, announced on June 10th that they're not holding their media days as was planned and scheduled in Atlanta, July 13th through the 16th. And they just checked in with the media and reminded everyone that they're still working with the schools and the SEC network to plan through the logistics for the event and taking into account the summer activity and the preseason practice calendar and all that the NCAA laid out as a lead up to fall practice on August 7th. So the SEC says they're still doing that. And when they've made the determination on when it will be held, they will let everybody know, but it won't happen July 13th through the 16th. So at least that gives us a little bit of clarification that it's going to get pushed back as a virtual media days, and that it won't be moved up. We didn't know how that was going to work. So at least we know it won't be held the 13th through the 16th. They're still trying to work it out. and they'll make an announcement when it will happen. And you know, I just wanted to check in with everybody and remind them that they're still working on it as we enter the 4th of July weekend.
Yeah, I like the reminder. Hey, just in case you didn't get the first announcement, it's not going to happen when it was set to happen, and we'll keep you up to date as to when we have the virtual event. It's not as though they scheduled a press conference to say, this is to tell you there's going to be another press conference.
Right, it's exactly right.
That's Vince Ferrara. I'm John Wilkerson. We'll get a break. When we return, we look forward to catching up with former Farragut Admiral, former Vanderbilt Commodore, and a chance to be an Atlanta Brave, Philip Pfeiffer. He joins us next on 99.1, The Sports Animal.